good God. When the Bible talks about James 1:25, that perfect law of liberty, and the power of the Word of God in Romans 1:16, even though death is difficult, but John 14 is sweeter. And that's the reason why, brethren, in spite of what's going on in the world today, Jesus, when he made that proclamation in Matthew 16, he did say that the gates of hell will not prevail. And that's the reason why, brethren, that if you want to use the language dogmatic, or you just want to use the word narrow-minded, or that narrow way. And even though the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, when he talked about when he departed, grievous wars were in the end, not sparing the flock, speaking perverse doctrines to draw disciples after them. And even though in Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 1, when he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in a lot of times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to the deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. And even though in 2 Timothy 4, in verse number 3, when the Bible says, for the time will come, when they will not endure. And I want you to pay very close attention to that word sound doctrine. Yes, sir. And the reason why I want us to pay close attention to that word sound doctrine, because when you talk about men like Brother Tally Moore, Brother Sheffield, and many more who stood on sound doctrine, who stood on the word, who stood on truth, would not add to, not take away from God's word. These men knew the importance of John 8:31. When Jesus said, if you continue in my word, indeed you shall be my disciple. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we as brethren, faithful brethren, some of you men one day will be elders in this congregation and deacons in this congregation. And you hear me say this all the time. We owe it not only to ourselves, in order for us to make it to heaven. Because, brethren, if we don't have sound doctrine, heaven will not be our home. If we're not steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, as he told Jude, we shouldn't have never been born. Because heaven would not be our home. So I just want to just talk about that for a minute. Because even though we lose good men, I thank God for them, amen. Amen. This should be a lesson for us. In Hebrews 11:4, when he talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for, and for the evidence of things not seen. And drop down to verse 4 for time's sake, where he says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he attained witnesses that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts. And this is what I want us to see. And though it he, being dead, yet he still speaks. And even though Brother Moore is gone, based on the life that he lived, and this could be said of all of us under the sound of my voice, we're going to leave you, Hebrews 9:27. But when we leave you, the life that we live, leave a legacy that you were a Christian. And that you stood for sound doctrine. And even though we are dead, your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren can look up to you and say, yet he is dead, but his life still lives by the life that he lived. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. Let's go back for a few minutes and let's continue our study together. We were talking about the Old Testament in relationship to the book of Genesis, in relationship to the seven reasons why we need to study the Bible, the 66 books of the Old Testament, the 39 in the New, the 27 in the New Testament, and in relationship, and we always use these figures all the time, 5:12, 5:17, 4:1, 21, and 1, to give us that perfect law of liberty of the Bible so we can understand what is the will of the Lord. Also, we talked about that concept. Why do we need to know that there are 66 books in the Bible? And I talk about this all the time. This book that I'm holding, the perfect law of liberty, scripture, the word of God, sound doctrine. You know, why we need to see the importance of it, but mostly understanding 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, and work with thee not to be ashamed, but literally knowing how to do the right and divide God's word. And I say this all the time. Well, how can you make this book a benefit to you, a blessing to you, when literally you don't understand what this book is all about? In relationship to his purpose, in relationship to the intent, in relationship to historical predictability, the ethics of it, or the redemptive part in relationship of Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son under the law to redeem mankind for the sins of the world and tie it all back to scheme of redemption. I mean, you hear me throw out numbers like 66, 39, 27. You know, I'm not a quarterback, and I'm not telling you, afraid you to make a, well, anyway, but those numbers have strong significance in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 16. Why? To gain wisdom. That the Bible works for us and not against us. Amen. So you'll be able to rightly divide God's word. Because our enemy, the adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Also important to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that it may teach you and admonish you. Even this one simple fact that we talked about when we talked about what is acceptable worship. Just using music. Well, we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. That is that we may teach and admonish one another, Colossians 3:16, that we may sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding. Why? That we might have joy, James 5:13. That's enough reason for you want to understand the predictability of the Bible, or you understand the historical emphasis of the Bible, or you understand the ethics of the Bible in relationship to God's redemptive purpose. And that's the key word, Ephesians 3:10, to understand the manifold wisdom of God through our understanding. See, Brother Hampton, that's the reason why Brother Moore was such a good man, because he understood this book. And I think we live in a world today, and good to see Brother Brown with us today, that you got men today who don't study to give them the understanding in order to be able to make proper decisions when it comes to God's word, because the Bible is just a book, but it's a book that they don't understand. But if you understood, like I said, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 14:15, James 5:13, brother, you understood God's wisdom to gain wisdom and understand why we sing and we do not group sing, or we do not bebop, or we do not do anything to add to or take away from God, at that point, because you have that understanding in your mind, brethren, we at Fowl Park will not tolerate that. Amen. Because that's God's word. Amen. Amen. But that's what he's talking about. To gain wisdom in order to equip us, to give us the understanding of every good work. It's a background of the New Testament. You know, we talk about Jesus in relationship to Galatians 4:4 and Genesis 3:15, that seed promise. See, Jesus being there in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I say this all the time. See, you're not going to understand the New Testament till you understand the 39 books in the Old Testament. In relationship to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, in relationship to the history of the Jewish nation, in relationship to the encouragement we get from Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastic, or even the 17 books of prophecy, all point to Jesus Christ as coming into this world to redeem mankind for the sins of the world. That is, we study the Old Testament. Why? In order for us to have better understanding why Jesus came, Luke 19:10, to seek and save that which is lost. And I say this all the time. See, if denominationalism understood, see, why Jesus came, but they ran it all the way back to Genesis 3:15, and ran all the way back to God's wisdom and God's purpose, brother, denominationalism wouldn't exist. That same thing about the church. If we understood God's eternal purpose, that manifold wisdom of God, guess what, brother? We'll be in obedience to 1 Corinthians 1:10. That is, that we'll speak the same thing, be of the same mind, and be of the same judgment. Amen? Jesus just didn't pray in John 17 that we all may be one. We can be one if we let the book let us be one. But in order for the book to make us be one, you have to understand how the book works. That is, begin from the beginning and understand its purpose in relationship to its history, in relationship to the predictability of the Bible through its scripture, through the actors of the Bible, in relationship to its redemptive purpose, and understanding what is the will of God. And then I talk to you about pointing to Christ. It points to Christ. John 5:39. Let's go there right quick. John chapter 5, verse 39. And I love that it points to Christ. It points to Christ. It don't point to Muhammad. It don't point to Buddha. It points to Jesus Christ. Amen. We look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. In the book of John, chapter 5, in about verse number 39, I want to read with you. I want to read together. John, chapter 5, and verse 39. Here in John 5, and verse 39, look what scripture says here. It says here in verse 39, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testifies of me. See, the books of prophecy talks about Jesus, amen? Everything points about Jesus. In Genesis 12:1, that seed promise that was promised through Abraham, that seed was going to be the seed of Jesus who would come into this world in order to redeem mankind for the sins of the world. Let's continue to read verse 40. He said, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. If you're not right, John 10:10. But I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. And I've come in my Father's name, and by the word name, right? Matthew 28:18-20. And you do not receive me. If anyone comes in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? And do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you will believe me. For what did he do? He wrote about me. Where did he write about him at? In the Old Testament. See, in relationship to its pointing to Jesus Christ. But when we fail to understand, or we fail to know, or we fail to study, or we don't see the importance of it, or we don't see the urgency of it, brethren, we lose the blessings of knowing who Jesus is. See, in order to gain that wisdom, in order to be pleasing and acceptable to God. Then Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning. Amen. It was written for our learning. That's the reason why we're here. I tell us all the time. We come here, 1 Corinthians 11, when the whole church come together in one place. See, we come unified. We come together for a purpose. Amen. And that purpose is to work out our salvation, to learn about Jesus, to learn about a church, to learn about how to worship, to learn how to love one another. Amen. Because we don't love one another. If we don't appreciate one another, you can't love Christ. Amen. You can't do it. See, we are heirs of God, Romans 8:16-17. And we are joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we learn about Jesus. We look unto Jesus. We point to Jesus. We seek Jesus in order for us to be more like Jesus. So we can benefit from the blessings. And that's the reason why, brother, I'm excited about the church, aren't you? So I'm glad. I'm more excited today about being a member of the church than I've ever been in my life. I mean, 30-some years, you know, I've been standing in this pulpit, growing, going through things, but even now, man, I appreciate. It's just like my wife, you know, I was telling her the other day, you know, I appreciate you, old lady. Amen. And she looked at me, I praise you, old man. I said, that's right. And we do. And we do. You know, because, you know, we're grown together. We're matured together. We have love together. We're through good times and bad times. And that's what learning does for you. Amen. And that's what scripture do. Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things are written aforetime. See, it's for our learning. It's for our patience. It's for our confidence. It's for our hope. See, in light of a dark day, 2 Peter 1:19-21. And that's the beauty. And that's the reason why, Terry, that when you look at men like Brother Moore, or you look at men like who have been faithful, who have been steadfast, unmovable, and fought a good fight, that's the reason why, yet they're dead, their lives still speak. Because they stood for something. Didn't tolerate anything. Didn't add to. Didn't take away from God's word. They respected God's word enough that they feared it. They respected it to the point they obeyed God in spite of what other people say. You're like somebody said, well, what's wrong with them over there? What's wrong with our lives over there? It's called respectability. To respect God's word. That God is long-suffering toward us, and he's given us time and chance to change it and understand through a proper study and make the proper changes that we need to make. And when you go against the grain, when you go against the status quo to do what's right, people are not going to understand. And the reason why people are not going to understand is because they just don't have that understanding. Because they understood what God's word said and understood the manifold wisdom of God. They understood these 66 books of the Bible in relationship to the will of God. They'll have the spirit of the mind to want to come and say, let's reason together. And whatever the will of God is, that's final. It's not my will, it's not your will, but it's the book. It's the Bible. Amen? Because one day, I don't know when it may be, we're going to leave here. And it'll be a shame to have been in the church, but been out of the church. It'd be a shame to say you were a Christian, but your life didn't measure up to the word. Because we fail to investigate, to study, to make the proper decisions, to be what God would want us to be. Not what I want to be, but what God would want us to be. And brother, it's an individual thing that each and every one of us got to do. You can't do it for me, and I can't do it for you. It's a choice. It's like Marco, when he came down today to get baptized. This young man been sitting here, Julius, remember, from a baby. You know? Last week I asked him, I said, Marco, have you ever been baptized? He said, no. But because he stood here, came, he stopped coming, he started back coming, we saw him snatched out of the devil's hands and put Christ on in the water grave of baptism. Some plant, some water. But God will always give the increase. If God's word would not change, it's going to be here. Man want to change it, but God said you can't change it. Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 13:6, and Revelation 22:18-19. So if you be here today and you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitational song. Come right now as we stand and we sing.